Well, amen. Hey, hallelujah to the King. Praise the Lord for that message, and we need to do that. And what a blessing to be here tonight so we can look to Him, to be able to worship Him, and to receive what God has for us, that we might be able to apply it and go out and live it and make a difference in the world that we live in. 2 Kings chapter 19. We've been going through and studying the life of King Hezekiah on Wednesday nights, and I trust it's been a tremendous help to you. It's been a tremendous help to me as I've been going through and studying it and then preaching and teaching it. Hezekiah's leadership is one to look to and learn from and follow after, and God has recorded the life of Hezekiah to be a help and a blessing to all of us, but I believe especially to leadership, as we have that type of a testimony and results that we found in the life of Hezekiah, because it's only through his leadership that is keeping Judah out of captivity. Now, you know, Israel's already gone into captivity for the most part, and Judah was getting ready to follow after Israel and being taken into captivity by Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And yet we find that Hezekiah turned back to God and started doing right in the eyes of the Lord and leading the people to do right in the eyes of the Lord. And they started obeying God's direction. And when you obey God, then you can expect God's blessings on your life. And we see that that's what's happening with Judah. They've just been looking to God, and God has been giving them the direction for their lives. And it's kept them out of this Assyrian captivity. Hezekiah takes a stand against Assyria, and he knows Sennacherib is coming because he took a stand against Sennacherib and stopped paying tribute and told them that God was going to deliver Judah out of the hands of Assyria. And so we've been studying a lot up to this point. I want you to stand with me tonight. We're going to be reading chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. Because after all the things that happened, then this is what we find Hezekiah, how he's dealing with the fact that they are in battle at this point. And chapter 19, it says, "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it," heard all the words of Sennacherib and all that, and that Assyria was going to do, "that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. They said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, we do love you, Lord, and thank you for opportunities like this tonight, to where we can just come out from the world and our everyday activities and pressures and responsibilities and just assemble ourselves together and just opening up to receive what you have for us. I pray that you'd help each one of us to sense your presence in this place. And I pray that you'd help each one of us to focus on what you have for us individually as well as us collectively. And I pray, God, that you'd empower the teaching of thy word. For this we preach, this is we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So here it is. Judah is getting ready to go into captivity. Isaiah takes a stand against Assyria. Then Assyria sends a mighty army to Judah. And Hezekiah, before they would ever come, Hezekiah gives Judah a message from God. That was important because he was preparing them by giving them a message as to what to do whenever they face Sennacherib. Whatever he would say, no matter what they would see, no matter what fears might come in their lives, he gave them a message on how to handle this and what to do in the time when this would become a reality, because he knew that Sennacherib was coming. So as he gives this message, and Sennacherib comes with a great army and words, the words themselves, as we studied that, they sounded good if the words were true. He's going to give every man their own horse, and he's going to put them in the land that was as good, if not better, than their own land, and they would flourish, and they would be able to eat all they wanted to eat and drink all they wanted to drink, and just have a happy-go-lucky revival, hallelujah time. But the truth of it is they would be slaves, and they would be mistreated, and they would not have the freedoms to worship, and they would not have the freedoms to live as they wanted to live. The word sounded good. Sometimes the philosophies of the world sounds good in certain areas and certain things, if they're only true. The words were not true. Sennacherib came and attempted to intimidate the children of God. This huge army and the words was a shock and awe type of a strategy. He thought if he'd come with the mighty army and given them what they wanted to hear, that they would turn on Hezekiah, and by turning on Hezekiah, they would turn on their God, because he told them, no other gods. What makes you think your God's special? No other gods have been able to keep them from going into captivity and to keep me from defeating them. And we studied all the different lies and the words that were said about the God of Judah. Thing of it is, Sennacherib didn't know about the God of Judah. He did not believe in the God of Judah. He did not do his study of history about the God of Judah, which history itself proves who God is and the power that he possesses. Sennacherib came with this shock and awe. But Judah followed Hezekiah's message. This is where we ended up, if you will, chapter 18 and verse 36. But the people, all this was taking place, all these things were told the people, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word. They were trying to bypass Hezekiah, and they wanted the people to do what Sennacherib wanted them to do and act the way that Sennacherib wanted them to act and leave the castle, if you will, come out. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer them not. One of the things Hezekiah would have given them the message, don't listen to the words. Don't look at the size of their army. Don't compare yourself with them. Don't listen to all the different things they're going to try to say to you and do and make you fearful and get you. It's all a ploy to try to get you to do what they want you to do. Believe what they're telling you, but they're all lies. But so what I want to see here is they actually listen to the message. What a hallelujah when people listen to the message of God and they go out and apply it and come back and say, hey, that works. It works in every area. If you want blessings in whatever area of your life, then do God's will in that life, and he's promised to bless that deed. The deed of finances, the deed of service, the deeds, all the different areas If you want God's blessings there, then do what God wants you to do. Marriage at home, raising children, all the different things. He blesses his word. Commit to it, and you'll see God bless you and fulfill the promises he's made to you concerning those things. So they actually were doing what he had taught them to do. But now, it's here. It's not just in preparation for what's coming. It's not in getting the message to apply whenever it is that you're going to need to apply it. It's here. They're facing this mighty army. They're facing this world power that has not been defeated up to this point. And there's no human way that Judah would be able to defeat Sennacherib and Assyria. And we find that in verse 37, then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Joe, the son of Asaph, the recorder. They come to Hezekiah with their clothes rent and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And it came to pass, when this took place, they come back and report to Hezekiah, the people are following your message. But this is the message that they heard from Assyria. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. That's a powerful verse right there in the life of Hezekiah. Because it's one thing to read and study and be prepared for major decisions of life. It's another thing when you're facing it, when you're there. It's happening. The pressures would have been on Hezekiah. The pressures would have been unbelievable. Because now they're following his messages. And now we're going to find out if his message to them is going to work. It worked to start with, but will it be what they need to do to defeat Sennacherib? They're now fully involved in a war with Assyria with a high possibility and potential for all of Judah to be killed. They could have made the decision to surrender, especially once they seen the army, the mighty army, and they heard the voice, and they possibly could have believed some of that, and they could have made a decision, all right, there's no way we can win this battle, so let's go ahead and give in to it and try to make the best out of captivity. And let's see whether or not they will at least keep some of their promises and be able to treat us halfway decent. But that's not the decision they made. But they made their decision. The people of Judah made their decision because of the message of Hezekiah. Yeah. And now Hezekiah sees and hears of the great army, and now it's right there upon them. And he knows the people are following his lead, and yet it could be the death of the entire nation of Judah. Sennacherib had done that before, no doubt, when they rebelled against him and didn't do what he told them to do. Then he physically went in with the mightiest army of the day and destroyed the people, the women, the children, and took the land. Have you ever been there? When you thought you were ready to face what you had been preparing to face, thought you got the right counsel, thought you got the right insight, you prepared yourself, you thought you were ready for that life-changing decision. And then it came time to make that decision, to face that battle. Thought you were ready. You thought you were making the right decision when you got married. Was it the night before or the wedding? Was it the minutes before you're going to walk out and in front of all your friends and family and God himself make these vows to this individual? I thought I was ready. I thought I was going to make the right decision. But when it comes time, you ever found yourself wondering? Everything's set. But is it the right decision? Was it the right decision, whether you realized it when they gave birth to that baby and that baby started crying and you realize that's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone? And that baby has no one to depend on except for its parents. Everything that baby needs has got to come from parents. I've got to make sure I provide a roof over their head, food on the table. I got to change diapers every now and then. You prepared for it, you thought. I'm married, so I guess that's the next step. But am I ready? Then you have the baby. Did I make the right decision? Am I really up for this task? A lifelong responsibility? You bought that new house, you went in debt, and now most all of your paycheck's going to pay a mortgage payment. I thought I did all of the adding, subtracting, the budget, what come in, come out, making sure this and that. But when you go in there and it seems like you're an hour and a half signing. You're wondering what you're really signing, because at the end, you don't even start to pick. Just give it to me. Gonna be signed. Take it away. Did I do right leading my family into a debt? I know we got to provide for them, got to put a roof over their heads, but can we afford this? Is this going to lead to maybe bankruptcy at some point? Can we really afford this house? Can we really afford whatever financial responsibilities that you got yourself into? You thought you were prepared, you got all the way up to it, and now you're signing it off, and now you have this bill, and it's going to take most of your paycheck. Did I make the right decision? Did I make the right decision, especially when others are impacted by it? They brought the message back to Hezekiah. Pressure is on his shoulders because they're having faith in his leadership. Now, they believe he's the king of Judah, and they've looked back to God, but they're basically looking to Hezekiah, and they received the message, and they're applying the message, and now it's time for war, time for battle. The soldiers, the Sennacherib soldiers, are there. And Hezekiah feels the pressure. If you've ever felt the pressure, you can appreciate what God's given to us in the next few verses. What did he do? The war is just about to be fought. As far as he knew, it was going to be hand-to-hand combat. All of Judah, the lives of all of Judah now are weighing in the balance. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, heard all the words, seen all the soldiers, knew that the war was here, the battle was getting ready to get started. Did he give the right message? Has he made the right decisions? Will Judah survive this? He rent his clothes, a sign of humility, and covered himself with sackcloth. When you face something like that, you better humble yourself before an almighty God. You realize how human you are. How that you can be blinded and you can make mistakes and you can do wrong things and you can affect others because of your decisions. But once he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, he went into the house of the Lord. He prepared himself and then went to meet with God. Because that's where he got the message from. He got the message from God to be able to give to the people and say, this is what God has given to me to give to you, and this is the way you need to handle it. When Sennacherib comes, you don't need to listen to him. You don't need to believe anything that he says, and you don't need to be filled with fear. This is what you need to do. But now it's reality, and so Hezekiah says, I need God to reassure me. The message I gave to the people and what we're getting ready to do goes far beyond me. But it's God's message. It's what God would have us to do. Can I tell you, never run from your decisions, but rather make sure it was God leading you and making the decisions. We're going to have to make tough decisions in facing life. And if you hold a position of leadership, then others are going to be looking to you and be impacted by how you led them to make the decisions that you're going to make. Don't run from God. Run to God. Because it is God strengthening you to be able to do whatever it is that God would have you to do. Never allow troubles or insecurities to keep you out of church. Troubles and insecurities ought to get you to be more involved in church. Not wanting to miss one message that God might have for me, but looking to take full advantage of everything that God has offered me and has available to me so that I can find the strength in God to be able to follow through with whatever decisions that I know that God wanted me to make and actually led me to make and how it's going to impact other people's lives. Psalms chapter 92. Psalms chapter, let me just read this to you, but write it down. You'll want to go back and study it. Psalm chapter 92, the psalmist writes this in verse 13. He says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Planted in the house, I want to be there. every opportunity I have, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be planting myself because I want to get as close to God as I can get to God. I want to hear from the Lord as much as I can hear from the Lord. And he says, and the Bible says, and the promise here, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. They can have what you have need of. They can meet the needs, whatever they might be. God strengthening you to follow through with the decisions that he directed you to make. Yeah, so you got married. It's quite normal to have butterflies or maybe a little fear or even question whether I should run or not. But if you knew it was God's will, then look to God and just find strength, comfort, and knowing that he had already given me peace about this. Yeah, having that baby, making that mortgage payment, whatever it might be. Hezekiah prepared himself. He went to the house of the Lord. In Psalms chapter 42, let me read this to you. It helps us, the same message that he's given in Psalm 92, but 42, in verse 2, it says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day, holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." What a blessing. Turn to God. Don't run from God. Turn to God. I love what he does next. He prepares himself, and then he goes to meet with God. But then we find verse 2, "And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, preparing themselves as well. But he sent them to Isaiah the prophet." He sent others to inquire of God through the prophet Isaiah. What he was doing, he wanted to seek the counsel of Isaiah to make sure that it was in agreement with what he had received from God himself. And as he receives this counsel, to make sure that it is in agreement with what he believes God had counseled him and led him to do, then he was able also to share in the pressures of the decision. That's powerful stuff right there. "In a multitude of counselors are safety, where no counsel is, people fall." And when you seek after the counsel that God has brought into your life, and Isaiah was the prophet of the day at this time, giving Hezekiah the messages from God that he was supposed to take to the messages to the people. And so he went to God, but then he sent his leaders to Isaiah so that he could make sure of the message from Isaiah was the same as the message he was receiving from God. And then he was able then to say, it's just not me making the decision. It's the leadership that God has given to me, and it's the prophet Isaiah that God has put in my life. And all these together, we are going to share in making the decisions that God would have us to make that affects so many people's lives. Wow. Don't try to handle it all on your own. It's not wise to do so. And God has put, and we've studied this the last couple of weeks ago, he's given us protection in place. He's given us a Bible. He will never lead you opposite the counsel of his own word. He's given you a church. He's given you a pastor. He's given to you spiritual helpers. And listen to me, these things, he's also given you the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Take advantage of all that God has given to you. Don't try to do it alone, but turn to all of what God has given to you, and together make sure that you're in agreement and making the decisions, and then stand by the decisions that you made. Even though if you don't understand them, don't understand how we're going to defeat Sennacherib and this great army that is now right out at our front door. But we are confident this was a decision. And we're sharing it, the responsibility amongst those in whom God placed together. Wow. Verse 3 through 5 and verse 19, and we have to hurry here, but 3, Hezekiah sent them to Isaiah. Their message was one of humility and unmerited favor. Because after he sent them there, and they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah. So they said, Isaiah, we are sent by Hezekiah. He is looking to you as king, and we are looking to you as his helpers. This day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. What he's doing there, he is humbling himself. He is saying, we don't deserve your help. We don't merit the help of God here. It comes as a mentality of humility. And it says, then he says, it may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, who the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God. This is what's taken place, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. He's begging, he's asking Isaiah to pray to God for the remnant that is left, even though that they don't deserve it, but yet this is what they're asking for. Unmerited favor. They're asking for grace and mercy. They don't deserve it. We should never go to God as if we deserve anything from God. Hezekiah sent them there with the same humility that he went into the house of the Lord. They went there with the same humility and humbling themselves, saying, we don't deserve it, but it's possible that God will show us grace and mercy. God's grace and mercy is what all of us need. God gives grace and he shows mercy. That's a difference there. God gives grace, unmerited favor. Unmerited, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Salvation, I don't deserve salvation. But it's available to me by grace. God gives grace. And mercy is withholding of deserved punishment. I deserved the punishment, but his mercy keeps me from having to be punished. He took my punishment on himself. And he can show that mercy because of that. So he comes and they seek from Isaiah God's grace and God's mercy. And then in closing tonight, God's message sent back to Hezekiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master. He's doing everything the right way. You need to go back and help him to see. Don't have to fear this. You're doing everything the right way. I'm going to take care of this for you. God wants me to tell you everything is going to be all right. And Isaiah said to them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. A blast from Almighty God. That's who created the universe. I think that's a pretty strong blast that's getting ready to come. I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to study that possibly, but what a blessing. Hezekiah planned, sought, prayed, did everything he could do to have the right message to give to the people. And he was persuasive enough that the people received the message and obeyed it. But when it came time for the actual battle, there was some anxiety. And he did the right things to give the help for his anxiety. He personally sought God. He sent his helpers, his leadership, to send to find the help of Isaiah, God's prophet. And the message coming back, it's going to be all right. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm here for you. Yeah, I'm here for you. You'll not have to go to battle. I'm going to take care of it. Get rid of all your fears. The battle's mine. I'm going to handle it. And the message was sent back to the king, Hezekiah. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. No matter what you're battling, stay focused on the Father. You go to him. You receive his counsel. You receive his promises. You look to those, and you'll find the same answer. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Stay close to God. Stay close to him. Because when you're close to him, and you go to the house of the Lord, you'll find what you need. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. And thank you for helping us and directing us, giving us wisdom and direction to make the right decisions of life, no matter how scary they might seem from time to time. I pray, God, that you would help each one of us just to continue to look to you, to find that grace to help in our time of need. Bless now in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.